Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for Musician Coffee House. So great to be back podcasting. I invited a special guest with me. His name is Daniel Jang. So why don't we get started? So Daniel, how are you today?
I am doing well. How are you?
Good. So what type of drink are you drinking today?
I am currently having water only.
That's good.
Had my coffee today.
Yeah.
Already.
Okay. So yeah, I have my
ready to go
coffee right here.
Nice.
But yeah. So, what has been your pandemic lifestyle have been so far?
So my pandemic lifestyle. I recently moved. So I spent like most of 2020 dealing with paperwork and furnishing, decorating the house, and doing like a completely new setup. So there was like a lot of transitioning things happening on top of dealing with the typical pandemic stuff.
Right. I know that like a lot of our friends or our colleagues, you know, they're either like in big cities like New York or California and such. So like, why New Jersey?
So I stayed in New Jersey because this is where most of my family and church friends are. So it kind of just made sense for me to stay close.
Were there any like challenges that brought up to you during the pandemic, especially with your career, or do you think it actually worked out for you?
So for challenges, I think there was like a pretty big drop in social media followers for some reason, and like streams and like view counts, they were all dropping a lot. So it was like pretty disappointing to see that at first, but I think it was just kind of learning how to accept that kind of decline as being part of the job, you know, and those numbers shouldn't define who I am as a person.
Yeah.
As much as like, I like to turn on, like go on Instagram and go like, oh my gosh, I have like such and such number of followers. And it seems like it's like everybody's struggle, but I feel like the less I was on social media, the happier I was.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know how, like, when you soak up so much into social media, it could, like, really damage your mental health, too. And, like, what you said, like, those numbers, like, in a way, it's important to us, you know? But, yeah, so what were some of the things that you coped with to help you not focus so much on the numbers?
Well, I think one of like the biggest thing, obviously, like everybody felt it, but like it was just hard to see my work as something that I had to do on my own now. So I wasn't able to work with Rob, my friend, who helps me shoot my videos and stuff. And I guess on the bright side, it was nice to that there was like nobody to really interrupt me when I wanted to like record or when I wanted to pursue my interests. And one of those ways is like I actually learned how to cut and dye my own hair. Well, I didn't do a really good job, but it was something that I wanted to kind of try out, you know. Also learned a lot about coffee, so I did a bunch of like pour over methods. Two different kinds of pour over methods.
Nice.
Yeah. And also, I never really liked reading, but for some reason this year I decided to pick up books and just really try to get through a couple books.
Yeah. Awesome. Wow. You found a bunch of hobbies during that time.
Yeah, for sure.
That's good. Yeah. Keeping yourself in company and stuff. Awesome. Yeah. So I forgot to mention this in the beginning, but how Daniel I met was him and Rob and Arden Cho came to Boston, right? Yeah. Or yeah. What year was it?
Might have been 2017, I want to say.
Wow.
16 or 17.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's when like we first met, and then I know Arden did some like covers with like Min Sung and like Matthew and Isaac. Yeah. So that was lots of fun. Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. Good times.
Yeah. So yeah, and now here we are doing podcasting.
Yep.
So I'm so curious of how your or when you started picking up the violin, because I know that you even have a master's degree. So can you tell us a little, can you tell us about how you first picked up the violin, and if that was your vision from the beginning or was it completely different?
Mm-hmm. So I started playing the violin when I was 7. I think my parents thought I had interest in it, so they kind of signed me up with a teacher. I think it started from when I was posing for a picture with a plastic tennis racket and a chopstick in the other hand. It's probably something I saw on TV, but they have a picture of me just in a kiddie bathrobe and just holding it up. It's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty silly. And then I decided to, and since my brother was already playing piano, my parents also signed me up for piano lessons the year after.
Mm-hmm.
So I was one of those kids who really liked to experiment with the different sounds on the electric keyboards. Later on, obviously, but it was just kind of something I like to do.
Were your parents supportive of you, of going through the route of being a musician?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Since I was homeschooled since first grade, I think they knew I didn't really excel in a lot of subjects academically. They later on suggested that I could be a music education major. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Since I liked working with kids at that point in my life, I liked giving music lessons and helping out in children's ministry for church and Bible study group.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I ended up at music school.
Awesome. So did you study music education in college or?
So actually music education didn't work out because the faculty thought that, I guess maybe because I was homeschooled for so long, they wanted me to try out for performance instead.
Oh.
Yeah. So I ended up with a performance degree for bachelor's and master's at the same school.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So do you look back and be I wish I was still a music educator, or are you happy as a performer?
I think at that time I saw myself as being a music teacher for the rest of my life.
Mm.
I thought that was what I would do for a living. But yeah, I just really had a passion for teaching, but I think over time I did kind of burn out a little bit, so I decided I didn't think that this was the way for me anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And so you also mentioned about serving at your church. Mm-hmm. And do you still do that till this day?
I do not. Mm-hmm. I took a break from serving for a while.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause I know that you upload Christian covers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, violin covers and
yeah,
I thought that was really cool. I love Christian music, but with violin or string instruments in general.
Yeah.
It's just more depthness of emotions and
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah,
you would know because you play a cello, right?
yeah. I do have experience with that, and sometimes I just whip it out and start playing.
Yeah,
Christian music. But yeah, okay, gotcha. And so how did you come about in starting your own YouTube channel?
So yeah, it was in 2012 when I was a junior in college. I'm kind of old now. So I saw a bunch of creators on YouTube who were playing covers of popular songs. And I thought I would just try it out for fun, upload a couple videos. And my first microphone was actually a handheld voice recorder, the kind that you bring to a lecture.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I just toss it on the side and it mm-hmm. just sounded so bad. So I don't know. I still have all those videos up though. Mm-hmm. So nothing really happened with those videos, but I think I got maybe a few hundred per video. I didn't really think too much about it until my like third or fourth violin cover, and somebody asked me to submit my cover of Big Bang's Blue to their cover contest.
I love that song.
Yeah.
Oh
my gosh. And there were like a bunch of different categories for that cover contest. So it was like vocals, dancing, instrumental. And for some reason, people were like upvoting my video, and the view counts on it started going up a lot. So I was like honestly pretty surprised because the quality wasn't there yet. And like I actually borrowed somebody's backing track to finish that video. Yeah. But yeah, during that time, there were like a lot of people who were like started clicking in on my channel, and then they began requesting songs that they wanted to hear from me. So yeah, I guess it really took off when at a certain point people were saying like, please put this on iTunes, I want to buy it, and like later on Spotify. But it was like kind of a weird gray area. It felt like a weird gray area, like legally monetizing covers. So just to be safe, I like started making my own backing tracks on the computer.
Okay, gotcha. Did you have any like inspirations like while you were making covers, like when you were like watching someone's YouTube channel, you were like, oh shoot, I want to do something like that?
Yeah, there was a lot of people that I was watching at that time. It was like Kurt Hugo Schneider, obviously Arden and Jason Chen, people that kind of keep in touch with still. And there's just like a bunch of other violinists, like Peter Lee Johnson, who is really good at like making his own backing tracks and then like fiddling and doing like freestyle stuff over a crazy violinist.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. You still like make covers with Arden, right?
Yeah. Think,
yeah. You guys released a recent like Christian song together, I believe, right?
Yep.
With Arden.
We did How He Loves. Yeah. And also a newer Hillsong song called Clean.
That was awesome. Fun. Yeah, that's so cool. In the midst of, you know, like, of just being consistent with social media, what does that look like on a day-to-day for you? Are you constant, like, for instance, like, are you consistently on Instagram trying to find, like, trending music? Are you on TikTok a lot these days? Or, like, how do you, like, put together your work and know what covers to make?
So, I think the, I think, like, before the pandemic, people were, we all kind of had, or, like, the people who were listening to my covers, they all kind of had, we all kind of were interested in like the same top hits and stuff. But I feel like after, like during the pandemic, some of that kind of just disappeared and it became like TikTok music, and like the trends totally changed. So I feel less relevant now. Well, at least my covers feel less relevant now. But, you know, if I see people making requests for like multiple people requesting the same song and it's something that I like, then I'll try to cover it. Yeah.
Gotcha. So do you have websites like Patreon and stuff?
I just kind of look at people's comments and and kind of like keep it in my head, like tally up.
Yeah.
Maybe this cover might do pretty well because like five people asked for something, like some really old song from like 2015 or something.
Yeah. We love those. We love those throwbacks.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah. Was there ever like a breaking point where you were just like, oh my goodness, like, I don't know if I want to keep doing this?
I don't think that there ever came a time where I was like totally burnt out. That's why I try to limit my covers to like once a month. So it kind of gives me time to sit back and listen and re-listen to it without feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm on a grind, you know? I think the only times I ever really felt burnout was when I tried to travel and then make covers at the same time. So that was pretty rough during that time.
Gotcha. So what does burnt out look like for you?
Burnt out to me, I think it's just where it feels like I know I have to make a cover, but I have absolutely no interest in the song. Like I'm being forced to like try to make something.
Have you learned how to arrange music, or was this all like self-taught, including like music producing too, or just like editing and all that?
Yeah, there was a class that I had to take in my undergrad. It was Music Tech 101. And I remember like all of us were like, oh my gosh, this is such a waste of time because we were just basically copying scores on Sibelius. Did you take that before?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, so it's like Sibelius and then you had to do like basic MIDI stuff on, we had to do it on Ableton. Yeah. So it's just
Gotcha.
like making simple melodies or whatever. Yeah,
Yeah.
people are just like, wow, this is like I could be practicing or whatever at this point. But for me, I think that's it really helped me learn how to use the DAW for the DAW whatever for the for arranging the covers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine like myself being a performer 'cause I actually hate
Oh,
practicing.
really?
Yeah, I just can't sit for more than like 20 or 30 minutes. Like I always have to like go somewhere or
Oh
do
my
something
gosh.
else. Yeah, I don't know. I'm working on it, but
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a discipline. Yeah.
So how many hours do you practice these days?
Oh, these days it's probably like 45 minutes a day. So bad. So bad.
Before in college, like how long did you used to practice for?
College was a different story. I was doing like maybe 2 to 3 hours normally. And then
Oh,
like later
wow.
on when it got really serious, it was like 3 to 4 hours. We had to do like orchestra stuff, so it was just like, oh my gosh. It was so tiring and like always had like cramps and whatever, like muscles were always feeling tight and whatever. Super achy. And there's like a certain point where I just like went crazy and I was like practicing 10 hours a day for like
Oh
a
my.
month or something. I forgot. But it was when I was trying to do masters, the auditions for
Right.
masters. Yeah.
Were there any like big projects that you've done by far that you want to share with us?
Big projects. Not really. I haven't really done too many big projects. In 2018, like I did do a performance for Domenico Dolce &
Oh,
Gabbana. It was like
wow.
his 60th birthday, and then
Oh,
we went
whoa.
to Milan to basically just like open up the party for him.
Oh, wow. Wait,
Yeah.
that's big. That's cool.
That was like literally my peak, I guess. I literally peaked right after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you also do like wedding gigs too?
I used to do wedding gigs, but not anymore.
Yeah. Just
Yeah.
like full-time YouTube.
Yeah, full-time YouTube. I do get a lot of requests to play at weddings, but I think it's just like a lot of logistical stuff that has to be handled. And I kind of don't want to deal with it at the moment.
Yeah,
Yeah.
gotcha. Okay. So would you call yourself as a freelancer?
Think so. Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. My entire college education wasn't what I really expected, or my post-college life wasn't really what I expected, considering the degree and the field that I was in. Right. So, for example, I went in thinking that I would be like in a classical field, but I ended up doing like the crossover thing, which I never thought I would actually do. In fact, I think in college I was still like one of those people who like looked down on it and just like, oh my gosh, this is playing pop music on the violin is such a lame thing to do. I was like being like one of those classical like purists or whatever you call it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just kind of made me like also think about like it seems like you really love Jesus. So I think it's just so fascinating of how like you're making violin covers 'cause like I know some people can be like only want pop songs or like that type of culture, but mm-hmm. you adding Christian songs to your content. Was there any like doubtfulness how like you shouldn't be uploading like any religious songs just so that it just stays universal for everyone to watch? Right. Or was there ever like a mindset or like thought about that before?
Yeah, I think because I was raised in a church, it was kind of like always in the back of my mind, like I need to put some like Christian content out there. But it didn't really, I think when it started taking off, I started shying away from that even more. Mm. But I have to really credit Arden for helping me like get over that point, because mm-hmm. she was so fearless about it, you know? Like at that time she was still filming Teen Wolf, and mm-hmm. like the fact that she was just like, oh, let's do like Nothing But the Blood, like that old hymn, Nothing But the Blood.
Yeah.
And I was just so taken back, like, wow, someone of her status, if someone of her status could do it, then I could definitely do it as well. So she really mm-hmm. inspired me in that regard.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Do you feel like you're utilizing your gifts and talents with violin to glorify God?
That's a really good question. I think there's always a little bit of doubt that taking out the lyrics is kind of, it doesn't really help that much. But I think there's still some use for Christians, because some people, sometimes they'll be like, oh, I played this, or like we sang over it, or like mm-hmm. we use this in our church, or like we use this for prelude or communion, that kind of stuff. So I think there definitely is a small field for that, mm-hmm. for this kind of content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotcha. Thanks for sharing about that, by the way. Yeah. Do you currently have a like streaming platform like Twitch?
For like in-person, like live streaming?
Yeah, live streaming.
Like no, Twitch. I don't live stream at all.
Gotcha. Do you ever plan on doing so?
I think maybe one day I'll do it, but I just don't know if I'm interesting enough to do that kind of stuff.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, like, I was, like, looking up, like, people that does music on there, and I feel like it's also in a way like similar to TikTok, how like it could be like blown up like pretty quick too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I see people like on the front page of Twitch all the time. Yeah. Just jamming out.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know, like I thought about doing it, but then it is a lot of commitment. And I feel like in a way, like it could be like a lot of pressure too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because a lot of the eyes are watching like live, mm-hmm. you know. Are there going to be any like upcoming like big projects that's coming in the way, or?
Big projects, no. I think right now, well, I try to do like some originals, but they never mm-hmm. work out. I feel like.
How come?
I just feel like the writing is never, the melodies are never good. I mean, yeah, like if I really tried hard, I think it might, but in the end it just feels like I'm, yeah, it doesn't sound up to par, I feel like.
Yeah, what's like your planning, or I don't know if planning is the right word, like structuring, or like how do you like write melodies?
I think
like in your way.
I think the reason why originals don't really work out for me is because I always start on the piano. And then I'm like, oh, wow, this sounds like pretty interesting on the piano. But then putting the melody on the violin, like because of the difference in the timbre and whatever, it sounds totally different. Like I can't really make that conversion.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So you're still like trying to figure out how to like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put those together.
Yep. Exactly.
Gotcha. It's definitely hard to write songs through a string instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I kind of try to do that too, but I definitely understand the challenges that comes to it. Yeah. Because it's different than when you're like singing and playing chords on the guitar.
Right, right.
But like the voice is from the instrument, like the string instrument itself. So it's like
exactly
a different vibe or different structure for
sure. Yeah. I think it's just nowadays I see a lot of people just like, I feel like people are always like putting out content like so fast. I think sometimes it's okay to step in the other direction and just kind of, you know, try to go for like the long haul instead. Mm-hmm. Like just don't burn yourself out, right? Yeah. Like for me, I've been doing it for, I think I've been 10 years plus. So it's like, I think if I were one of those content creators who like did every week or every other week, it'll just, I'll be done. Like it'll be over for me by now.
Yeah. You're so healthy. I don't know like what else to say. Like I was expecting something a bit more like a, I don't know, like, I don't know if this is right for me to say like a darker story, but you're so healthy.
No.
Yeah. Oh my. If you could give like one advice to those who, you know, are wanting to, or like wanting to start making like contents of, you know, music covers, like what's like an advice that you would give them?
I think it's really important to make an investment earlier. So try to invest in like equipment and good samples for like if you're producing stuff on like your computer and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's a really huge step. And for me, I kind of was pretty lucky with viewers who were very forgiving of like the low quality microphone that and camera that I had. So I guess there is, you know, some people are okay with like the raw, like if you're true to your craft, that kind of thing, people might, you know, still listen in. But I think making an investment early is probably something I wish I told myself.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, no, that's really good. Yeah, that is important too. Like quality and just like knowing your audiences is also like important too because of your engagements.
Right, right.
And such. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. You know, I almost forgot to ask you or like mention this, but I remember, I think it was like last year, someone tried to like use your audio and claim it that it was theirs. Like they're just like literally like this guy was like, I mean, no, you should explain the story, not me,
so. That's okay. I'm surprised like you actually remembered this because this happened like in late 2020. But basically one day people started messaging me or like sending me emails and they're just like, hey, like there's this lady in the shopping center parking lot who's like fake playing the violin over your cover of 1,000 Years. And she basically had like a sign that said, I have like 4 kids to feed and anything helps. And she had like a donation box and her amp on this side, which is playing my cover that I made with my friend Alan. Like a couple of my friends and followers, we tried commenting on that TikTok, and I think because like how fast it was going viral, it quickly got buried under, or like people were trying to tell them like, hey, like what's wrong with you, like it's the holiday season, you should be like, it's okay to give to people, like what's wrong with you guys, because they obviously thought that she was actually playing.
Gotcha. Right?
Yeah. But yeah, basically it turned out to be like a scam. I try to tell people like, hey, this is like my cover and whatever on the comments, but either it was getting deleted or my comments were being deleted or like people would start calling me names and stuff. And I was just you know what?
Forget really?
It. Yeah, it got really nasty on TikTok there.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea, because I knew that was going on because you posted about it, but I never knew like what happened during that process or like afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. So, thankfully, though, people later on tried to make like videos that were exposing this lady, and like people were saying stuff like, "There's I actually saw a different guy with the same sign in like a different state and whatever." So it's like this whole band of people, I guess, who are making money off of this scam. Pretty crazy. Like even like Two Set Violin on they made like a video on their TikTok about this, trying to expose, but it definitely didn't go as viral as that video itself did.
Oh
So
man.
yeah, it was very unfortunate.
Oh my
Yeah.
gosh. Dang. Yeah, that's huge. That's like so wrong in so
Yeah.
many ways, 'cause jeez. Yeah, I know how like toxic it could be on social media too, those
Yeah,
mean
for sure.
comments. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry you had to go through that. That's so unfair.
Yeah, it is what it is. Like, one of the violinists I follow, his name is Eric Stanley. He also recently made a video because, like, this problem has just been popping up, like, more and more. I guess as scammers see, they're like, oh, I could do this too. All I need is just a speaker and electric violin or electric cello. In Eric's video, you could see that. And there was like this clip of somebody stopping a scammer with his phone, and then the scammer just goes like, "Oh yeah, this is a scam." Like they were like absolutely shameless about
Oh my
it.
gosh, the audacity.
Yeah, so
Oh man, okay. So after reading all those like hate comments and all of that, like, 'cause I'm pretty sure there was it was like burning you out. Like that's a lot. So, how did you feel at like just reading all that?
I think I felt pretty like I was really pissed off at first, to be honest. Yeah, but I guess the silver lining was that there were people who were like really defending me. Like there were some really diehard people who were just no holds barred. They're just like, "Oh, this is his video. Like you should go check out this and this," and they're like trying to upload evidence of like the matching audio and whatever. And I think that just kind of, from what I took, it was just like, wow, there's actually people who follow me like to this point where they would do such a thing for me. Like,
Yeah,
no
like they
shame.
value, yeah, like
Yeah.
they value your work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Yeah.
those are the true fans.
Yeah,
That's
exactly.
at this point it's family,
It's family. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, Daniel, thank you so much for just being on here and just sharing about your artistry. It's truly inspiring, and I'm so glad that you're approaching all that you do in such a healthy approach. I think it's awesome of what you're doing, and you're so gifted and talented, so I give you full respect, seriously.
Thanks, Grace.
But yeah, I really once again like I appreciate you sharing with us about your past and your present. And yeah, we will be rooting for you from afar.
Thank you
So,
so much, Grace. Thanks for having me on your show.
Of course, it's my pleasure. Well, thank you everyone for joining us for Musician Coffee House. There will be more episode coming up soon. In the meantime, take care. Bye.